And our Miss America, or Miss USA, also. That's our America. She also was a Muslim in her background. You're watching us give up our values. We're putting God in the closet. We're saying the Ten Commandments has no part here. Put Him in the closet. And we're sending our boys and gals in harm's way overseas thinking God's going to protect them. I'm scared to death when my boy's on foreign soil. In Fort Hood, you got to be afraid for him down here on domestic soil. This is Memorial Day, so I can go here. Beloved, he says, you free in verse 19, in verse 20, he says, you were servants of sin. When you were servants, you were free from righteousness, but not any longer. Look, he says in verse 21, what fruit did you have in those things that you did that you were now ashamed of? What fruit? You had no fruit. Why? Because you were dead. You know, a dead seed, you can put it in the ground all day long. It's not going to grow. It's dead. But if it falls in the ground and dies and the whole thing germinates as proper, that will grow. He says, for the end of those things is what? Death. Disappointment. You see, in the old life, before you knew Christ, what happens is you do one thing on top of another on top of another, and every bit of it culminates to tell other people this is how it works. Now, the most insidious of this is people who are morally good but don't want anything to do with God. Somebody has referred to them as up and outers. Boy, they got the house, the car, they got a nice little home, their home's in order, but they don't want God. And their insidious lie is, you don't need God. Look how good we are. People like that perpetuate a lie that goodness is enough. And if you ask them if they thought they were going to heaven one day, many times their words would be, I'm a pretty good person. I want to go on record as letting it be known right here, before us all, between us all, so we all understand each other. Good people go to hell. You know, the Pharisees were very good externally. The Bible says that you're ashamed of those things. The end of those things was death. Verse 22 says, but now. Underline those words. I love it. Whenever he says that, but now. Not like that anymore. Whoo! But now, being made free. He says it again. Being made free. Look at verse 18. Being made free. Do you think he thinks we're free? Being made free. How'd you get there? You were made free. And he's putting it on the heels of the words that when you were a servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. Think about it. What does it mean to be free from sin? Same thing it meant to be free from righteousness. It doesn't affect you. Yeah, I mean, you know, those people might have stumbled into church once in a while, but the fact of the matter is, it didn't affect them. And you may stumble and pour your coffee on your shoe, but you know what? You're free. You can get the napkins out, wipe your foot off, and move on, go teach the lesson. Isn't that neat? You're either dead in sin or you're dead to sin. There's only two places to be. You're either free from righteousness or you're free unto righteousness. Free from sin. That's just doctrine, folks. I didn't make that up. This was here before any of us in this room were born. It's going to be here when we're gone. So we can bank on it. We can count on it. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and being come servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, that's sanctification, even in the end unto everlasting life. The whole idea he's trying to impart to us is that there's a purpose God saved you. In fact, the words that in verse 22, the idea of that is in verse 22. The idea of purpose is there when he says that you may have your fruit. This is kind of a hina clause that's not shown in the translation. Hina means in order that. He's saying you're supposed to do this. This is how it's supposed to work. In order that you may have your fruit unto righteousness. That's what God wants you to do. And the word fruit is very important. You used to have fruit unto death. Now you have fruit unto righteousness. He's going to bring up the word fruit again in chapter 7. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. And by the way, when he says in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It was a gift bought and paid for by Jesus. Just get that, get your mind around it. Bought and paid for, gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Paid for by who? By Jesus. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Don't let the devil kind of complicate things. And when he said in verse 16, here's the long and the short of it, he's saying again in verse 23, basically this is what it is. It's a gift. Sin's going to lead you to death. Christ will lead you to life. Verse 1, chapter 7, know ye not brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. He changes it, and he illustrates the same point over again, only in a way that a Jewish man could get his mind around. He says how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he lives. A moment ago, he gave us the obvious answer. Here he's giving us the legal answer. You want to see how it works in legal terms? He says, look at verse 2. He says, for a woman that is bound unto a husband who has a husband is bound unto her by law. She's bound unto her by law. And it says to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband's dead, she's loosed. The word loosed is the same word for Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. It's the same word. It means you've been rendered unemployed. In other words, now that her husband's dead, she's free. It's another way of saying it. You're free. Her husband's dead, you're free. You're not an adulteress. So look at verse 3. He says, so then, if her, while her husband liveth, if she married another, she'd be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free. So he says it in no uncertain term. Free from the law that bound her. Free from the law so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. So he illustrates it through marriage. As long as you're married in this world, you're supposed to stay married. That's God's word. And he says that you're bound by the law. If you're a Jew, man, this meant something huge. He says you're bound as long as you live. He says, but if the person be dead, you're free. And what does he say then? To draw the application, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. In other words, the law has no more dominion over you. You don't have a wicked taskmaster saying, thou shalt not. Why? Because you're dead to sin. Why not? Because you're freed from sin. It's no longer your dominating factor in your life. And he says that you should be, underline the word that you should be married to Christ or to another. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we walk in, I'm reading the wrong verse here, verse 4, it sounds very, got some of the same words there and got me, verse 4, that you become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should marry another. Even to him that is raised from the dead, and then the word that again. That you should bring forth what? Fruit. What's this about? What's wrong with it? You know, when I position myself by next to righteousness, I'm looking for fruit. We talked about the fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian, but it's also the fruit of the Spirit, which brings people to come to be another Christian, okay? First of all, you have the fruit of the Spirit, love. And when you have love, you're going to be a blessing to your world. You're going to go out and do some good. And while you're out there, you're going to have joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and all those things. Just like Paul, he's thrown in dungeon after being whipped with whips, and he's singing hymns in the middle of the night. And the man, the prison guard, he's ready to kill himself when the angel opens the gates. He says, do yourself no harm. And he leads him to Jesus. How did he do that? Well, I saw him when the doors were locked. When the doors were locked, he was singing. Well, what are you doing when the doors are locked? When you aren't getting your own way? When life isn't... You know... If you got Christ, you got the fruit of a Christian. If you're walking with God, doesn't matter what things are going your way, you're going to find a song. Sometimes you're going to sing a song like... I had a guy in Virginia when we first started out in the ministry. He was an old-timer who just loved God. He and his wife had a sweet, sweet relationship. He lost his wife. Man, the whole family, the whole church there was ripped apart in her heart. This lady would drive across the highways and hills and byways. She'd go to old people's homes who were shut in, couldn't do for them. She'd do their nails. She'd manicure. He lost her. She was the sweetest woman on this side of heaven, if you'd ask him. And when he was... couple weeks or so after he had lost his wife, he had to cover the pulpit on a Sunday night, and I was up there getting ready to lead sing. I said, brother, you have any song you'd want to hear? He said, yeah, I have a song I'd like to request. He said, how tedious and tasteless the hours. Now, I'm a young guy, and I got all the... I mean, I was 23, 24 years old. I'm like, no, we need victory in Jesus. He said, oh, no. I thought he was joking. I never heard of that song. Have you ever heard of that song, how tedious and tasteless the hours? How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer we see. Sweet birds and sweet songs and sweet flowers, they've lost all their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. Oh, midsummer day, I can't remember what he talks about. But when I am happy in him, December is as pleasant as May. And he was reaching for a song. He was reaching for a footing. And he had a song. Why? Because he had a fruit. What fruit do you have? Well, I don't even know a Christian song. Evidently, I don't either. I just butchered the one line in there. I could get it for you. But we got to know. We got to know our Bible. We got to know our verses. We got to know songs. We got to be able to draw down. When the doors are locked, can we sing? He found a song. That's my point. Isn't it good? And we need to have one too. No matter whether it's happy days or sad days, you got God. And He's there. And you're more than conquerors through Christ. He says in verse 4, He says we're to be married to another that we should bring forth fruit. When we bring forth love, then we're going to bring forth other Christians. If you think that you can look around somewhere and find somebody else who's going to heaven because you're a child of God today, you should be very blessed to know somebody else is going to be there. I mean, that's huge. But you know, many Christians can't point to one person and say, that person's going to heaven. You know, you ought to get one of those praying through moments in your life. God, do not, I will die if you don't give me somebody to go to heaven with me. And I'm not just talking about somebody who made it to church, made a decision, never showed up and came up and stayed up. Okay, I'm talking about a real Christian. Somebody who really, God wants to confirm you by giving you fruit. Start with love. Go from there and look for somebody in your family, somebody in your circle. Bring them to Christ. He's saying, I've ordained you, chapter 15 of John. I've ordained you. You go forth, bring forth fruit, bring forth more fruit, bring forth much fruit. That's where He's going. Here it is again. Fruit, fruit, fruit. He wants fruit from you. Shall we sin? That's not the question. Where shall we stand? That's the question. Where can I stand to be fruitful? Verse 5 says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The fruit you brought forth when you were lost was fruit that you kept kind of becoming iniquitous, which means no law, lawless. You become more lawless, more lawless, more lawless, more lawless, because you explain everything away. It's called relativism, and you think you can do whatever you want because you're a good person compared to somebody else. No, He says that's what sin brought forth before in your life. And now He says, but now, again, verse 6, but now. Verse 22, but now of chapter 6. But now in verse 6, He says, we are delivered from the law, that being dead to sin, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, God's saying, I don't want to hit you with a whip. I don't want to give you a spanking every time you turn around. I've taken care of everything. I have made you dead to sin. It won't affect you anymore. I've made you free from sin. You can do this now. But it's on you because you now have a choice. You chose to obey that sound of doctrine, that type of doctrine that was brought to delivered to you. But what are you doing today? Are you still a babe in Christ? The word for babe is nepetes. It means to have no words. Do you not have your Bible in your heart? You need to start. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2, right? You know, if you're not wanting to grow, if you're not wanting to have fruit, you need to go back and touch the foot of the cross. Because, man, God puts something inside of a believer. He gives them new desires. They miss it when, you know, they can't reach out and feel that God's near, you know. We were watching some family videos the other night. And Ryan, when he was little, I mean, he was the little one and a half year old. And we were fixing up the tree. And Linda's filming me working with the kids, and I had to be nice because the film was running. I mean, they were little. They were getting in everything. But then she takes the camera and looks down. And Ryan's up there like this. Huh? Can't even talk. What are you doing, Ryan? You know what? If you're truly born again today, if you really are, there was a time when you were like that. Are you like that again? Are you like that today at all? Do you feel that rumination just wanting to reach out? Ryan got older, he would sit at the table. He'd put his hand on Mama's arm while she was eating, bugged her to death. But you know what you're going to do? Just reach over and put a hand. Do you reach out to see if God's there? He says, but now you're delivered. But now you're free. But now you're dead to sin. Beloved, this is good stuff. This is meat, potatoes. It's good and sweet. Would you bow with me for a moment?